What? Whoa! I got no words. I got no words. What a night. Brewers win. Rhys Hoskins has his signature moment in his first month and a half as a Brewer. 5-3 the final. Brewers win tonight. I'm Dominic Catronio. Holy cow. What a night. Rhys Hoskins, go-ahead home run in the bottom of the seventh on a 3-2, two-out offering. Down 3-2, then leading 5-3. Wow, wow, wow. I'm Dom Catronio, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620 is the number. You can call, you can text, you can come hang out with us here this evening. We're with you for an hour. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. Augie, my goodness. As a pitcher, I know you saw that pitch by Kittredge to Hoskins and thought, that was a really good pitch. But also, it's a really darn good hitter on the other side. What a swing by Rhys Hoskins.
Well, you know what? One thing, you look at Kittredge, he's been throwing the ball, a lot of breaking balls away. He's been just showing the pitches on the inside part of the plate, trying to get the guys out with that good slider and a good cutter on the outside part of the plate. And Rhys Hoskins was smart after he came in with that 2-2 pitch on the inside part of the plate. Got a breaking ball, but I'll tell you what, Rhys went down and hit a good pitch. It was a great quality pitch, but I'm going to tell you what, even a better at-bat, staying on the ball, hitting the ball straight center, not trying to pull the ball, drove the ball to the ballpark, a big hit. And when you look at what Rhys Hoskins has done in this series alone, he's 4-for-10 with two runs scored and 7 RBIs. That's the guy that we brought into this ball club, one, to hit home runs, to drive in runs. He's done that in this series. What a great game and what a big hit for him to hit that home run in the seventh inning.
You know, I want to take a moment, too, with the Rhys Hoskins move. That was a signing that was universally beloved by Brewers fans and universally admired by baseball people, saying, oh my goodness, that makes perfect sense. He's going to be in there every day. Yes, there are some player options in there to give him flexibility as he chases maybe a bigger contract down the road. But here he is proving he's healthy. And the Brewers, if it's 1 year or if it's 2 years, they're going to enjoy every second of it. And Matt Arnold was very blunt at the very beginning when they signed Rhys Hoskins. He was flat out open and said, I didn't know if we were going to have the financial access to a player like this. Now, obviously, they traded Corbin Burns a week after. That doesn't have to do with Rhys Hoskins being signed because, look, Joey Ortiz got into the game today. He played third base. We've also seen D.L. Hall pitch in the big leagues, and there's a pick, so they got over the line on that trade. But tonight's not about that. Tonight's about the fact that the Brewers front office, once again, identified a need, and kudos to Mark Adonasio for raising the checkbook to say, you know what, let's go get this guy. And boom, here we are May 11th, and Rhys Hoskins, as you would hope, is the team leader in home runs for a first-place team in the NL Central.
Well, you look at Rhys Hoskins, and, you know, they talked about what he was in Philadelphia. He was a good team player, great in the clubhouse, was the type of guy that gets in every game, plays it hard, really was an integral part of this Philadelphia Phillies team when he was over there. And there, nothing but praise in what he did. And, you know, the one thing that you look and bringing in a player, you got to look at a lot of different things when you bring guys in. How do they fit into your ball club? What is their personality? Does their personality fit? Are they good clubhouse guys? Are they good players? Are they good teammates? And when you check, when you make the checks, Rhys Hoskins checks every one of those. And what a great guy to get for not only this ball club, but he's also a leader. And he's the kind of guy that's always was a guy that was a leader with the Philadelphia Phillies. He stepped right in here, stepped in that clubhouse and just taken over. And like you said, leads the team in home runs. What do you want? A guy who can hit home runs, drive in runs, and be a positive effect on the ball club and the younger players. And Rhys has done just that.
And a reminder, Rhys is never going to be a guy that's going to be hitting for quote-unquote batting average. That's just not his game. He is a bona fide slugger. He's going to give you 35 homers with like a 240, 230 batting average. That's not bad. If you're slugging 500, you're doing your job. And Rhys, you have to figure, as he trusts his knee more, as he gets back into baseball shape, it's going to keep getting better, right? The Brewers gambled last season, and I'm going to bring up Voldemort's name here to some Brewers fans, Jesse Winker. They gambled with Jesse Winker on a bounce-back season. It didn't pan out, and Jesse's bouncing back this season. So that suggests they weren't that far off. They gambled on a bounce-back season for Rhys Hoskins. Right now, it is certainly paying off. And quite frankly, the last few days, Rhys has been showing signs over his last, 14, 13 games or so. He has been playing a lot better baseball. If you go back to April 26th, over his this would be 14 games. The numbers, or 13 games, I'm sorry. He's hitting .244, but he's slugging over .500. He's got four homers in that time. And furthermore, here's what I love most of the signal of a slugger getting back into his rhythm. Only 11 strikeouts and 45 at-bats and 7 walks. He's understanding how pitchers are starting to swing at him. And 16 pitches against Lance Lynn yesterday, that was the 8th pitch of that at-bat tonight. He is identifying pitches to drive, and he's not missing them. That is a guy that's signaling that he's about to get white-hot here very soon.
Yeah, you look at a guy, and when you get a guy, and I went over all the things about him. He's good in the clubhouse. He's a good teammate. He's a guy who can hit for power. He can drive in runs. Play good, solid defense. Those are all things. Those are all credible things that you want with a player when you draft him or do you sign him or free agency, whatever you do. But you look at this ball club, and we talked about it yesterday, and we talked about the day before, about the four guys that you really need. Contreras, Adames, Yelich, Hoskins. When you look at these guys are the steady guys of the team. These guys are the main people in that lineup that you need to go out and perform, and when they perform, you're going to do very well. I just look at them. My numbers might be wrong, Dom. I'm not as good as numbers as you are. But you take those four guys, with Contreras, Yelich, Adames, and Hoskins, in this series alone, 19 for 36, 13 runs scored at 14 RBIs. That's production. Production. Where does Hoskins come in? He fits the role. Maybe not for hit for average, but hit for power, driving, and runs. Contreras does everything. He's your MVP-style guy, along with Christian Yelich. And I'm going to tell you what, Adames is swinging the bat, starting to swing the bat very well. So you get those four guys swinging the bat well. It gets contagious with everybody on the team. Today, they were it was in favor of the Cardinals. Everything was going good. They brought in Kindred, who was having a really good year. And what does Hoskins do? Sets them up, gets a good pitch, drives the ball to the ballpark. These are the guys that are going to win you big games as you go along. And when they perform, this ball club is going to perform. And we've seen it the first three games against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, just to follow up on it for you, you nailed it almost. 18 for 38, .474 batting average. Here's a good one. 7 walks, 8 strikeouts. That's a .556 on base percentage. They are on base. Those four guys, Adames, Hoskins, Yelich, Contreras, and Yelich in a play tonight. Those four guys, they're on base more often than they're not on base in this series. Those four guys producing, no wonder they're 3-0 in this series, and no wonder they've won 8 in a row dating back to last season against the Cardinals. Plain and simple, they're the better team, and they're playing like it, and Cardinals fans are realizing it, that the times have passed them by, and the Brewers and the Cubs are truly running the NL Central right now because the core is performing like it's supposed to perform. And we can get into some of the strategy a little bit later, but even though, the Brewers won a game that they didn't need Christian Yelich in. He would have pinch hit, but think about that for a second. If I told you that 2 years ago, that you were going to beat the Cardinals with a clutch home run, not from Christian Yelich, he wasn't even in the lineup that day, you'd be thinking, really? Oh, they've won 8 in a row against them? This team is different. This team has a chance to do something special in this division, and they're sending a statement being 6-0 against the Cardinals already.
Yeah, and that's a credible thing. You've got to give this team credit in the way this team has been structured. Last night we talked about the pitching coach Henderson's and Cookie going out and really doing a great job with all the pitching staff. And then you look at the defensive skills with all the guys that are going to Murph pushing the right buttons that you do on team. But Matt Arnold, really, he's a central guy. He's the GM. He's the guy that gave the guys the put on the field and given these young people an opportunity, putting these guys together, making a mesh. I tell you, I think Matt Arnold's done a great job with them. But I'll tell you what, Murph has taken over and got these guys believing in what they do, that if they go out and give 100%, there's no amount of how good you are, what you do. You're a good teammate. You go out and do well, you're going to play well. And that's what's happening with this ball club. When you look at the team solidly from pitching, defense, offense, the way they play and the way they play, I'm going to tell you, it's well-balanced, and that's one big reason they're playing good baseball and they're winning.
They're a balanced team. Let's get into some of the little deeper stuff. We'll assess Freddie's performance, some other guys in the lineup. Let me get to a few texts before we get to break as well. That's 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Tom in South Dakota, five runs is still mashing, right? They're averaging over five runs per game so far this year. It's always so nice to beat St. Louis. They broke my 12-year-old heart in 1982. Hey, man, five runs is hard to score in the big leagues. And the fact that they met their average against a very effective Kyle Gibson, I'm excited about that. This one coming from Josh in Milwaukee. It's been a long day, so I'm keeping it simple. A national audience got to see the Brewers are for real, and the uniform saga is improving with the pinstripes back in the rotation. Mother's Day magic scheduled for tomorrow. And this one from Aaron in Illinois. Don't think there's any debate for the difference-making moment of the player of the game. It's the underlying factor was the Cards pitching issued five walks and two hit batters. The crew only issued one. William Contreras is so good. Reese is heating up. Hudson continues to be the fantastic. Let's broom him tomorrow. That one from Aaron. We'll take a breather, come back with more. Brewers win 5-3 over the Cardinals. They've won the series. They go for the sweep tomorrow after this on WTMJ. Welcome back. Jerry Augustine and Dom Catronio with you after a Brewers victory 5-3 tonight. They've won eight straight, 11 of their last 12 against St. Louis. They've looked pretty darn good doing it the whole way. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Freddie Peralta gave him six innings. Some of it wasn't pretty, especially against the bottom half of the order. They were the only ones really effective against him. But he struck out eight. He only walked one batter, which I thought was a massive piece that I circled on his line today. But overall, what do you look at? It's technically a quality start, but he gets a no decision going six innings, allowing three runs, Augie.
I thought he did a great job. I think when you look at what he did, he really threw the ball. He threw well, got himself in trouble in that, got himself in trouble in that fifth inning with bases loaded, but was able to hold them to two runs. And that came on a really good at bat by Nootbaar. I tell you, one guy, he stood in there and made a good swing on him, made challenge him. But, you know, Freddie threw the ball well. And one thing you want Freddie to do is to keep you in the ball game. And you look at him going out there, giving the six hits, the three runs, eight hits, one walk, and eight strikeouts. When he needed a strikeout, he picked through the ball very well. I thought he threw the ball good. He kept him in the ballgame. The big thing, what you want to do is you're going up in ball games, especially when you're that number one guy. You want to keep your team in the ballgame. And I thought that's what Freddie did. I thought he had a good breaking ball today. It still goes back when he has that good command of the fastball, because he can make the ball move in different directions and locate the ball. He's going to be effective. And I thought he threw the ball very well and was effective with all his pitches.
And for Freddie, I think the walks, like I said, given the fact that he had walked so many guys in three of his last four starts, just to see him command the strike zone with the fastball. And I'm not going to lie, I was a little worried early in the game, given the fact that he wasn't really popping yet. You know, normally he'll cruise at like 93, 94, and then you'll see that pitch, that fastball juice up to like 96, 97. And early it was like 90, 91, and I was a little worried. And then the strikeout against Nootbaar and the strikeout against Goldschmidt made me realize, oh yeah, he's just messing with us. He threw his second fastest pitch of his career against Paul Goldschmidt, kind of, you know, kicking him while he's down right now, throwing a 98.9 mile an hour fastball. He had thrown 199.0 previously in his career back in 2019, but Freddie's feeling A-okay. And just the fact that he can toy with his velocity like that is such a skill, and he held Goldschmidt to 0-for-3 with three strikeouts against him.
Yeah, I thought in that third, I believe it was a third inning. It might have been third or fourth inning when third he struck out Goldschmidt and Arenado back to back. I'll tell you what, he set him up so well, pitching on the inside part of the plate and then really dotting that outside corner with good fastballs. I mean, Arenado just swung, and Goldschmidt did said, "There's no way I can hit this ball." And I think that's one thing we saw out of Freddie today. I think the one thing he went into this ball game, and you saw him maybe early in the ball game, didn't have that good velocity on the ball. He was talking and thinking about execution. when he executes his fastball to the good locations, the four quadrants, up and away and down and in, when he can get those quadrants going, that makes his breaking ball all that much better. And I think that's what he was doing today. Rather than go 3-2 and deep in the counts, he was looking at trying to stay out of deep counts, use all his pitches and be effective. And I thought he made a big step in that direction today.
I mean, he was back to fastball Freddy tonight, and as I'm looking deeper into the numbers right now, he had 12 swings and misses on the four-seamer. He only had 8 balls in play on it. So he got more swings and misses than balls that were actually hit into the field. So that was a massive jump forward, and Pat Murphy called him out on that today. When I asked him, hey, why do you think he's walking so many guys? He said he's not trusting his fastball right now. He needs to trust the fastball. And what do you see tonight? You get 12 swings and misses. You get only 8 balls in play. 55% of the pitches he threw tonight were fastballs. It's his nickname. It's Fastball Freddy. It all comes back to the fastball. It has to be on for him to be successful. I know he got a no decision, but I thought today was really important for him to right the ship. There wasn't really a ton of loud contact against him. But into that note, Kyle Gibson really kept the Brewers on their heels all night. And yes, there were a lot of walks, and yes, the Brewers loaded the bases multiple times, and it's become a running joke now that they can't score with the bases loaded, but they can always score with runners in scoring position. Gibson, he's not a strikeout guy, but he got 7 strikeouts. Why do you think he was able to do that against the Brewers tonight?
He really located. I thought the one thing he was doing, it seemed like early in the ballgame, looked like he went deep in the count a lot. And he seemed to go ball one, ball two, and then he'd throw a good pitch and he uses off-speed stuff. I thought the one thing he did as he went along, and it seemed like he got past that third inning, he started from being a strike thrower, started throwing strike with all his pitches. It looked like early in the ballgame, he didn't have that real command of his breaking ball. That breaking ball is a really big pitch for him. The cutter and the breaking curveball are big pitches, and he couldn't locate them. And that way, he fell behind 2-0, 2-1, and then he made good pitches with this changeup and his fastball up in the zone. But I thought after he got about the third or fourth inning, I thought he threw the ball really well. Got a heavy hitters, used all his pitches and throw, and was more of a guy that was dominant from pitch one to when he got the guy out. So I thought he threw the ball really well. Early in the ballgame, though, he was not strike one. And I think when you get in the game and you're counting on your breaking ball, you're not strike one, there's a tendency to be behind in the count, and that's what happened to him early in the game. But after he got along, he threw the ball pretty well.
855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This one from Doug. Goldschmidt used to be a Brewer killer. He's not anymore, but Hoskins is a Cardinal killer, and he's putting a nail in their season. Love it. That one from Doug. Is it just me, or is the only thing that the Brewers need to make it to the World Series is a better batting order? I disagree, Bob. Bob in Saratoga. They're relying on a lot of rookies. Yelich had the day off today, and Churio will get going. I'm hoping Frelick gets going. He was 0-for again tonight. I see a lot of youth on this team. Remember, Garrett Mitchell isn't healthy. He'll be back hopefully at the end of the month, first week of June, some point in there for him. But it's a pretty darn good lineup, man. And the meat of that order is really good. And I also want to address, so a lot of folks are asking and calling out Oliver Marmol, why even pitch to Rhys Hoskins in that situation? You know, why not just load the bases and take your chances with Jackson Churio? Pat Murphy admitted as such after the game, and I think Oliver Marmol knew this too. He had Christian Yelich still on his bench. There was no way Jackson Churio was going to hit again against a tough throwing righty, Andrew Kittredge. Yelich was available to pinch hit. It was just a routine day off. It wasn't anything health related. Pat Murphy showed his hand after the game saying, yeah, no, Yelly would have pinch hit if Rhys got on. Churio was not going to hit there. So to have that on the back pocket saying, oh, by the way, I've got one of the best hitters in the National League ready to go if I need him. Don't worry, he'll be in there tomorrow.
Yeah, you got to look at the pitches that he made to Hoskins. I'll tell you what, he took him, pitched a 3-2. He made him good pitch. I really like that what Kittredge did. He went on, he had a 2-2 pitch, went on the inside part of play, went off the plate. I think by him throwing that pitch so far inside, really let Rhys say, you know what he's going to do? He set me up for that breaking ball away, because he does have that really sharp, good breaking ball away. He did that. Rhys was smarter than him, went out and got a good pitch and hit it out of the ballpark. But I thought when you make a pitch, when you go 2-2 and you want to make a pitch to set up another pitch, you go that far off the plate, you're giving the hitter a little bit of an idea of what you're going to try to do. And I'll tell you what, Rhys Hoskins was smart, because he said, what am I going to do? He showed me that pitch inside. He's not coming back in. He's going to go away, and he went out and got a good pitch and hit it for a home run.
It was a very impressive at-bat from him. Some other guys down the box score here that I want to make sure we call out. William Contreras drawing a couple of walks. And people forget, I mean, let's go back to that seventh inning here. Terang lines out to open the inning on a great diving play in left field by Donovan. Then they go to the righty after Romero got the first out of the inning. Contreras drawing a walk against Kittredge set that whole inning in motion. Now, even though Willie popped out for the second out, lefties fare a lot better against Kittredge than righties do. So the fact that Contreras was able to keep the line moving in a one-run game and force that lefty, Bowers, to come up. I know a lot of people have been trashing Bowers. Bowers reached base three times tonight, had an RBI, and kept that seventh inning alive to set the stage for Rhys Hoskins. Pat Murphy preaches passing the baton. Trust the man. Walks aren't sexy, but they help you win games. And Contreras drawing the walk, getting Bowers up to the plate, who blooped a single, got the job done. Man, that was, I mean, I know Hoskins was the moment of the game. That was the reason was the moment was able to happen.
Well, I agree with you. I think when you look at how he was pitching Contreras, he was just trying to nibble, hopefully get Contreras to fish after a slider away, show him the ball on the inside part of the plate. But Bowers coming up there, getting a ball on inner half and just pulling those hands in and driving the ball in the left field base hit. What a great at-bat in a tough situation. And I tell you what, you talk about the heroes of the game. Yes, it's Hoskins, but that at-bat, like Dom, like you just said, Bowers putting those hands in, putting that ball in the plate, getting that base hit, that was the key in being able to get Rhys Hoskins up there and being able to have him have that opportunity to hit the ball in the ballpark. So nice at-bat by Bowers, and he's done that. He's come up at times and tough at-bats, and he hits the ball all over the ballpark. He takes what he's given. I think he's done a really nice job in the position that he's been put in.
It's been tough at times, but he feels like he's finally on time, like things are going like they're supposed to be for him, and he's making better swing decisions, as we saw this evening. We're going to take a break, come back with more with Augie, analyzing what is going on in this series with the Cardinals, and do we take any stock in the fact that the Brewers are already 6-0. That's coming up next here on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Brewers win 5-3. Stressful one, but they got it done. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Spring in Wisconsin means it's time for your annual AC tune-up. Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical has you covered. You can save $25 on AC preventative maintenance through the end of the month. Schedule an appointment today at Sider, SEIDER.com. So we talked about this briefly the other day, and I think I've said this on podcast multiple times, and talking about the Twins having they won 12 in a row at one point, and some people were complaining, oh, well, they were against the White Sox, they don't count. They're like, oh, well, the Brewers are 6-0 against the Cardinals. Well, the Cardinals aren't very. No, stop that. We're not doing that here. What we're doing is understanding there are big leaguers on the other side. Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are still big league hitters, and yes, they're catching Goldschmidt at a great time right now. He had his first hit in 32 at-bats tonight there in the ninth inning off of McGill. But now the Brewers are already one win away from sealing the season series against the Cardinals. And mind you, you know, they sweep them tomorrow, they'll be 7-0. They don't see the Cardinals again until after the trade deadline. And quite frankly, Augie, you know, I'm not ready to get ahead of ourselves here right now, but I might tomorrow. The Cardinals are not themselves, and I just feel like something is looming. Something really big is really looming down there in the Lou.
Well, I think when you look at this ball club, it talks about the one thing they want to do in the offseason is they want to shore up their pitching staff. They wanted a starting pitching staff that could go out there and give them a good outing each and every time they went out, and they did that. I mean, when you look at the guys that they brought in, Sonny Gray and last night's pitcher, and they went out, they did what they had to do. And even tonight, when you look at the way Gibson's been throwing the ball, those three guys that they picked up are really good pitchers. And they thought that they were short up. But the problem that you get is if you look at tonight's game and if you look at the series, you look at the bullpens. You look at the bullpens when they come in the game. You watch the Brewer bullpens. They come and they throw strikes. I don't think the Brewers' bullpen walked anybody so far this series. They come and they throw strikes. They get ahead. They put the ball in the plate. They get that first hitter out. These are the things that they do, and that's a big reason why they're successful. You look at the Cardinals. If the game is close because the Cardinals aren't scoring runs, they get to those bullpens, and what do you see? We saw a lot of three-ball counts. We saw a lot of 2-1 counts. 2-0 counts. You get to late in the ball game and you get behind on hitters, it's going to have effect because these teammates, are, I should say your opponents, have seen pitches all night long. They're going to be a little bit patient. They're going to know that you're not throwing strikes, and they're going to get their pitches to hit, and they're going to make a big difference. And if we see what has happened with this series, except for Sonny Gray, the first night when the Brewers were able to score some runs off of him, they've been able to get on that bullpen, and that's the big difference I see in this ball club. Yeah, they made a couple errors, the Cardinals did. But when you look at teams and you look at the Brewers, you look at the Cardinals, the biggest difference you see is the bullpen, and that's one reason you see the Brewers playing so well.
And part of the reason for the Cardinals' bullpen, cutting them a little bit of slack here, I mean, Ryan Helsley will go 8 days between appearances. Tonight was JoJo Romero's first appearance in a week. They haven't been winning games. I mean, tonight was their seventh consecutive loss, not just to the Brewers. I'm saying seven straight losses. They're not getting to the bullpen of the guys that they want to get to. They're not scoring enough runs. They're one of the worst offenses in baseball. Paul Goldschmidt is hitting an aging curve like we've never seen. Arenado's getting hot, but he can't do it alone. They're relying on Nootbaar to turn it around, and he had a good game tonight, but Burleson's starting to turn things around, and aside from that, there's not much. And now they've lost Wilson Contreras for the next 6 weeks at least while he recovers from the catcher's interference call from last week. They're not in a good spot right now, man. It is not good. I mean, Contreras isn't even back until after the All-Star break, and by the time he comes back, I don't even know if he's going to have the same team, if he's going to have the same front office, if he's going to maybe even have the same manager. There is so much on the line right now for the Cardinals. And quite frankly, if the Brewers win tomorrow and sweep them in a four-game set and go 7-0 against the Cardinals in the beginning of the season, it might already be over for them. It might, because you have lost the season series, and at that point, they will be down 9 games on the Brewers in the standings with... I know it feels like I'm getting ahead of myself, but I really don't think I'm getting ahead of myself saying the Cardinals, if they can just salvage one game tomorrow, they'll be happy. The Brewers want to step on their throat. I mean, they want to end it tomorrow.
No question. I think anytime when you're playing inside the division, you have a chance to put a team down, and especially the Cardinals, the way it's been talked since the beginning of the season, that they had an opportunity to win the pennant, and a lot of people had them after getting that starting rotation they had, that they had a good chance. But yeah, they're struggling on the offensive side of the ball. There's no question about it. You got Nootbaar and Goldschmidt and Arenado and Donovan, who's struggling a little bit at the top of the order. They are struggling scoring some runs. But I'll tell you, it's a difference of a way you go about it. You look at the Brewers and how they go about it. Their pitching staff, that bullpen, they have an idea what the Brewers are doing. And I'm nothing against what St. Louis is doing, but you look at the Brewers. The Brewers have actually two closers. They have a closer for the starter. They have a guy that they know that they can bring in after that starter, no matter where he goes, 4 innings, 5 innings, 6 innings, that they can come in and give them a shutdown inning, and then they'll fill in the innings from there until they get to their closer, which is probably right now McGill until later on in the season. But that's what the Brewers do. They have a great idea on how they do it, and they've stuck to it. You look at the Cardinals, every game, and I've watched them over the last week, if the starter struggles or the starter has a good start, they don't know who they're bringing in the game. They're bringing in different guys every day. And they do have Hensley, who's a good closer. He has the abilities too well. But like you said today, you got a guy like Romero, Kidris, who's having great years. These guys are brought in, and they're not brought in at times a little bit differently. They're your setup man and your seventh man, your eighth inning man, and they don't have anybody to come behind that starter to keep them in ball games. And that's where the Cardinals are struggling right now in the bullpen.
And I want to correct myself. You're right on the bullpen side of things. They struggle getting it to JoJo and to Helsley. I want to correct myself. If the Brewers win tomorrow, they'll be 10 games up on the Cardinals, which is essentially 11 games up because they'll have the season series. Yeah, I'm ready.
No question.
if the Brewers get it done tomorrow, I'm ready to call it.
Yeah, well, you can't say it's still early in the season. We got a long way to go, and the Cardinals could turn around. They've got a good offense coming. They got some really good young players that got some good players in the minors that they brought up and are struggling, and they got some guys on the IL right now that could come in and help out. But the Brewers do also. They had Devin Williams when he comes in. That's only going to make their bullpen that much stronger. And I'll tell you what, you got to like the job that McGill's doing coming out of the bullpen right now. Milner and Hudson and these guys are coming in and doing such a great job. So it's going to be interesting as you go from here. But, Dom, you're right. The Brewers are kind of got their idea of what they want to do, how they want to accomplish. They got that in order. The Cardinals team are still trying to find themselves. They're a good ball club. I'm sure they're going to come out and they're going to have parts of the season where they're going to play very well. But it's a little bit different from where the Brewers are and where the Cardinals are right now.
It's a big day tomorrow, and Mother's Day always tends to bring good vibes to this team, right? There's always a little something about these holidays like Mother's Day, right, for the Brewers?
They play well on Mother's Day, and it's always a special day. And I'll tell you what, you can have a possibility to get out the broom, and the way the Brewers are playing, I tell you, they're going to come out hungry tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be a good game. It's going to be a fun game to watch because they have an opportunity to do something special and keep the brawl rolling against these Cardinals. They've won six or seven straight or whatever it's been. And I'll tell you what, they have that opportunity to continue that tomorrow inside the division. And that's important. You got to play well inside your division, and they're definitely doing that against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Jerry Augustine joining us here with the expertise on WTMJ. Thank you as always, Augie. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one to watch. Big win for the Brewers tonight. Rhys Hoskins doing it. I'll tell you what, those four guys that we talked about having a great series, tomorrow's a big day. Good day to get a sweep. Happy day to all the mothers starting tomorrow.